some of his input in. All these people have to work together. What makes this team actually work? Because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we actually delivered our first prototype of this, and it worked remarkably well after 2 years of design with all of these strange people working together. And the reason is this. Engineers love this kind of stuff. We like to take something and get it to work. That's what brings the team together and makes all these people a common focus in trying to get done and get this product developed. This team won't last long. As soon as it's over, these people, a lot of them won't even want to see each other again. But there's a camaraderie and a working together of this team that's pretty unique and interesting to be a part of. Well, this is obviously different than the church, but the similarities are, in fact, that it's that common goal that brings so many different people together. I picked Ephesians, the 4th chapter, to concentrate my thoughts on that was read this morning. So I'd like to look at that, Ephesians, the 4th chapter. But before I do, we're going to do a flyover of 1 through 3. And I'm just going to read to you some Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3 and go to verse 8. I want you to notice how many times the word us or we is used and how it's used in these scriptures as I read these few fairly quickly through. Praise be to God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and his love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely had given us. See how many things that we have in common? All these things he's going through, this is what he's given us. This is what we have in common. Us, we. For 3 chapters they do this, talking about what we have in common that holds us together. If you go into Ephesians 2, you get to one of my favorites, and one with the whole subject of one sermon at one point is Ephesians 2 and 19. I'll read Ephesians 2:13 first. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, which Shane was talking about this morning. That blood of Christ is a uniting factor for all of us. No matter who we are, where we came from, what we do, it's a uniting factor. In Ephesians 2:19, that group of verses describes what a beautiful picture, in a building way, that we can all picture how this system is supposed to work and how it was created. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Can you picture this building going together now? This is the building. Christ is the cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets went out. They laid the foundation. They gave us the word. So in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. The building is us. The building is all these diverse people with different shapes and this mortar that holds us together, being the blood of Christ. That's the picture that I see in here. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church is a very special place, a very special entity that God has created, and we are a part of together. Therefore comes our unity. But how do we keep it together? This team up here isn't going to be together very long, because there's humility isn't really a factor that runs through this group in particular. And there's some other features that don't run together through that group very well. So they will disband as soon as they can, as soon as the task is accomplished. Not true with our task. But let's look at what it says in Ephesians 4 and 2. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Some really key words there. Humble, and gentle and patient in love. Then in the rest of the third through the sixth, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, because there is one body and one Spirit. There is just one, and there are many of us, and we fit in different ways. So let's look at the first one, humility. There's two kinds of humility when I see the word humility. The first one being humility from us to God. I mean, to me, that's not a problem. I just look around me and I see what God's done, what he's created in his plan, all that. I'm nothing. God is so great. But now you talk about your humility with among your fellow man. That's a little bit different. Let's read some of the scriptures there of how we should handle this. And we need to look at ourselves as we go through these lists and see how we're doing. Philippians 2 and 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only should look not only to your interests, but also the interests of others. A little harder one to work on, isn't it? Consider others better than yourselves, just like the song we always used to sing, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. A real key to long-term relationship building. Humility. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. If you just put yourself in your own place, you become a wiser person right off the bat. Matthew 23 and 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. In the final day, we'll pay. We will pay if we exalt ourselves and not humble ourselves. Romans 12 and 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We're all imperfect. We all have faults. We need to remember that. We need to remember. That's humility. You can see how humility makes a group work together much better. What about gentleness? Gentleness, I look at as kind of a combination of maybe humility and patience that we're going to look at. It's sandwiched in here. But it means to do not hurt or damage. So we have to, hurting someone's feelings or doing some damage to a relationship is hard to heal. It's hard to get past that. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. So that person's now off my list. That's not the way we need to look at each other. Something may have happened, and somebody may have done something to you in sometime in your relationships and that needs to be addressed, but you can overlook it. That's a choice that you make. Gentleness in dealing with everyone so that we don't get in those kinds of situations. Patience or slowness? Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 10. I'd like to look at 10 through 1 Corinthians 5, 10 through 18 all gives a good summary of some of these features all working together and tell us how the body should work. Let's turn there and read through those. I'll read this one slower. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Admonish being caution, warn, or reprove gently. That definition of that word. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Talking about those that govern us. Now, to go out back to each other, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for us that we have a group like this, the brothers and sisters to draw on, to draw strength from, to encourage each other and prepare ourselves? Because when we leave that door, there's lots of challenges for all of us. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 talks about love, the piece that really makes all this happen. If you really love somebody, these are the characteristics you show towards them. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, and it does not boast, and it is not proud. And that kind of put all those pieces together. Love for one another solves a lot of these things. You know, we're in a world that's constantly looking, it seems as though. Religion is a very personal thing. Our belief system is a very personal thing. And you talk to a number of people, and they've been all over the place. There's a story here that kind of just shows the reason it caught my attention is because of what it actually he says. And I'll try not to look at you when I tell this, but there was a guy that was alone in a boat out in the ocean. Okay, he'd been boated overturned, and he was just hoping to see land. And finally, he sees land, and he thought, "Oh, at least I've got land. I hope there's somebody there." And as he gets closer, he can see three huts on the land. So he goes, "Oh boy, we've got some people living there. I'm saved." So he finally gets there, and a guy comes down to greet him. He says, "Oh boy, am I glad, you know, where there's civilization." And the guy says, "Well, no, see, there's just me." He says, "Oh, well, I saw three huts on the island. I thought maybe, you know, there was people that lived here. Where's everybody else?" "So they're all mine. That first one there, that's the house that I live in. I built it." "Okay, well, what's the second one?" He said, "Well, the second one is I built there that to worship in." He says, that's where I go to church." He says, "Well, what's the third one?" He says, "Well, that's where I used to go to church." I laughed when I heard the, it's a joke. I laughed when I heard it as I thought about it. I said, you know, it's so funny to me because it's so real and then yet not funny. Because it's so typical of what people are doing. They're looking for a place to land where everything is just the way they would like to have it. I suggest that the unity of the Spirit means that you find a place where you're at, where you're doctrinally sound, and you make a difference. Working with each other and working as a group, become part of that group, unifying yourself with them and making a difference right where you're at. It's not about... It's what you put into things. I didn't have any particular reason to give this. I know in the lately there's some things that we could do to do better, and that's what I want. I want some takeaways from things, and boy, we're gonna get out early today. There's some takeaways and things that we can do to improve ourselves. Our relationships with each other. You know, try to think of something that you can take away to get to know somebody else better. You know, we did the food and fellowships for a while, and sometimes we had trouble getting enough people that wanted to host. I know there's some people that think, hey, there was, you know, my house is too small, or, you know, I'm too busy, or I've got too many kids, or I don't know what reasons are. But let me tell you, those are not important. What's important is strengthening those ties. We can do a better job. No matter how good that we are, we can do a better job of those things and strengthening these ties. Our dedication can improve. What about the list when we post lists? Well, sometimes we have trouble filling up. The mowing schedule, I think, is all filled up this year. I think that's great. Sometimes we've had to, that's been a tough one because people are a little intimidated. Go out there, start the mower. There's lots of people that are willing to help you. Build communion list is full. The building cleaning, that's announced kind of regularly. You know, these may seem like small things, but we can't seem to fill that one up. So a lot of people end up coming in that have already signed up for some others and, you know, and doing it. Just some little things to think about as far as working as a group. But I think meeting outside, you know, there's things that we can do to get to know each other better, because outside projects, I think there'll be some more of those coming up in the near future. I know we're doing some bags for some of the foster kids and things like that. Let's find ways to get more involved, be patient with one another, show our love for each other, and put some things into it. And certainly we have the blood of Christ as our common bond. And that has to be the core of it all. But because we're so many different people and from so many different backgrounds, we have to learn and work at getting along. Think of key here is we talked about the unity of the body, our involvement in it. It's the place where we're supposed to be, but unfortunately not everybody is there. Many people are outside looking in, and they can see all these good things but have trouble making that final commitment. Believe me, this is a great place to be. And I don't mean just this body. I mean in the Lord. It changes your life. It changes the way that you look at things. Your whole attitude about things that happen in the world. If they ever start to get down and you ever start to get bummed, then you just need to call a brother and sit down and talk, and you'll feel better. It works. If you don't have that and you're not in and part of the body of Christ, then we're going to offer you the invitation this morning. As we stand and sing the number of the selected, please come forward and be a part of that body.